Sometimes you want to laugh. For all the other times, there's this.
Connect to the Wi-Fi from next door. Because you know it's time for the Ash Kip and Lutzy podcast.
106.9.
Wednesday morning.
Hey-o. What's going on?
Ash Kip and Lutzy. No, Suze, again, we mentioned this on the show yesterday, but she is coming back on the show, hopefully soon.
Yep. Anyone watch the cyclone yesterday?
It was hard not to.
Yeah.
It's on every single TV station. Yeah.
I think I avoided TV because I was so tired of the build-up. And did anything really happen? I mean, obviously
it delivered.
It was powerful, yeah.
Oh, it delivered. And it's unusual that we get a cyclone. When you think about it, most of the cyclones, I know Yasi, which was the biggest one that we've had, and Larry, before that they hit during the night time. So yeah. It was actually, I actually found it fascinating to see a cyclone come
in the daytime,
yeah. Like when it hit like that. And then the eye of the cyclone, that's so freaky. Like the wind comes from one direction. So I can't remember now. Say it's coming from the east, and then the eye passes through and it's all still. And then it hits, but it's coming from the west.
Yeah.
Yeah, incredible, I reckon.
That's where everyone gets caught out, I guess, because they all go outside and think, oh, yeah, it's over.
Yeah. Yeah, have a look around. Yeah.
Bang.
Did you see that guy that brought his boogie board out at Early Beach?
No.
What an idiot.
Oh, yeah, but, he took his boogie board out, and he was an idiot and all the rest of it, but he was standing in sort of knee-high water, and I reckon he was doing it for the goof.
Yeah.
And the reporter was the same. She's like, oh, look at this idiot behind me. I'm going to have to call the authorities. He's like, why don't you just say, hey, mate, get out of the water. You're standing 10 metres from him.
Yeah.
Ash Kip and Lutzy.
This is a funny one for you and me, Kip, actually. You must resonate with you. Remember when we do the BRC, the Brisbane Racing Club, of course. A big, exciting year coming up again with the carnival and... great to see Nova involved with that and on board once again with that. But when we do the on-field, we do the sort of big screen stuff. Ash, me and Kip have done it a couple of times now.
Yeah, they have that screen. That's a huge screen.
Oh, it's the biggest screen, I think, in the Southern Hemisphere or something ridiculous.
Near the track.
Yeah, so our noggins are on that on race day for Stradbroke Day and all those sort of big racing days.
Thousands of people ignoring us.
Yeah, yes. It's a great say whatever you want because no one's listening.
Yes.
But... David Fowler is the race caller. He's our premier race caller.
And you give the impression that you've known him for 20 years.
And I think he's uncomfortable with it because I just sort of, when he crosses, you know, he sort of goes...
Oh, he's the on-track race caller.
So he'll be like, oh, there it is, race three at Eagle Farm as we now go down to the boys in the mounting enclosure, Kip and Lutzy. He just sort of goes, whatever. And we just sort of, I started off and Kip's even getting involved.
Thank you, David.
Yeah. Like, thank you, David. The unprecedented sexiest man in racing, I believe, in front of Bart Sinclair. I think that David Fowler, we can honestly say, is the most beautiful man in this fine equine sport we have. It just becomes a jib affair.
Outside of Gay Waterhouse, no one wears a dress better than our man David Fowler.
Seriously, then it rolls into us sponsoring us, getting our sponsors out, their suits, anything like that. Yes. It's just standard and 101 stuff.
Just like your radio show.
It's just a mug out of Will Vella and
all right, you don't have to do it now.
Yes, okay. Yes. Thank you. Oh, that's right. He's addressing you as well. Now that's even easier.
Yeah.
So saying all that, it's with great pleasure that we can. I was listening to 4TAB on the way to. I think it was on the way home from work. So I have it on early in the morning when I'm on the way to work, and then it's still on the radio. And David Fowler does this thing. Hello, I'm David Fowler. Welcome to Black Books, and it's him talking about Black Book specials for the week ahead. He's kind of like a thinking man's Alan Jones, which is saying something. He's got that sort of sound about him when he talks a bit like this, David Fowler.
Yeah.
And he's got a love of horses. We know that, but I didn't... I've got a bit of audio here with a horse called El Sicario that David's really fond of.
I'm sure El Sicario can atone next time out.
Okay, sexually impressive there. Race two and...
Little slip of the tongue.
Sexually impressive. That's it. I just wanted to get...
just to get that David said sexually impressive.
One more. Just give it one more here. Just so we can hear.
And I'm sure El Sicario can atone next time out.
Okay, sectionally impressive there. Race two. And
oh, we've got to do that next time at the races. Yes,
Elsa, don't forget the name of that horse. It's Elsa Cario Racing, Dave. I know you're a big fan of its hindquarter. Ash, Kip and Lutzy. Something I did yesterday as I was watching the cyclone unfold up north was I started thinking again, how did this cyclone get its name? How was it called Debbie? And what is the process of naming cyclones? And I actually think it's quite interesting. Like it wasn't until, I think it was 1964 that we had that Australia decided to join the rest of the world and start naming cyclones. And that was when Robert Menzies was our Prime Minister. And it was deemed that all cyclones formed in Australia waters for the next 10 years were going to be named after women. And that's why, like Cyclone Tracy, which is probably our most famous cyclone, when that hit on Christmas Day up in Darwin in 1974, that was obviously named after a woman. But what they do is all the significant cyclones, like this one is deemed to be a significant cyclone, the name Debbie will never be heard of again. It's like a famous number. It gets retired. So there'll never be another Cyclone Tracy. There'll never be another Cyclone Larry or another cyclone.
So it was only women for 10 years. Debbie. And since then, it's been guys. All
yeah, and then something happened after that where they said, no, what we're going to do is we're going to alternate. So if another cyclone forms next week in Australian waters, it will be a bloke's name. And then you obviously think, I wonder, how do you name a cyclone? Because I was thinking, well, how cool would that be if we could somehow get involved in the naming of a cyclone and give one of our listeners the opportunity to name a cyclone?
Mm. Is it discovery? Do you have to discover it or whatever to name it?
No, you don't know.
What do you reckon? Someone called Debbie went, oi!
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, look, there'll be someone in the bureau who's gone, I found it. There's going to be a cyclone here.
Porn stars is fun. You know, given that Debbie's got to run now.
Just stick with porn stars.
Diggler.
What they're saying...
Diggler's next.
Is that there's...
Cyclone Diggler.
There's actually an official body. I can't remember what it's called here. There's a body that has to go through. It's got to be approved by the World Meteorological Organizational Regional Tropical Cyclone Committee.
Oh,
but that actually exists. The waiting list, if you get a cyclone through... And they approve it after all of that. It's 50 years. They've got that many names banked up that it's 50 years. And some of the letters have been taken out. Like, you know, it might be like, listen, we've got too many cyclones with the name starting with A, B or C or whatever. Right. And so they're saying that what we're dealing with now is cyclones that were effectively named in the 1970s.
Oh, right.
Because we're going through.
So do we know what the next one? Does someone know what the next one's going to be yet, or is it just there's a picket from a list that have already been pre-selected?
That I don't know. But if you go back to the 1970s, why was the name Debbie famous?
Oh, was that Debbie Does Dallas? Was that then?
Yeah. 1970s would be Debbie Does Dallas, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And then you've got. I mean, so what's going to come now? You've got all names from the 70s. You're going to have Dorothy.
Yeah, they've actually got a list. It's like Blythe, Francis, Greg, Gillen, Lisa, Linda, Patty, Penny, Quincy, Stan. And they're all Anglo-Saxon names. And the reason that Yarsi, which ruined my old man's house, that didn't start in Australian waters.
Where's Yarsi? What's Yarsi's originality or whatever?
I don't know, mate. Honestly, I read one story. I'm not an expert. Ash, Kip and Lutzy. Just capping off on Cyclone Debbie and talking about the naming of it and the fact that, you know, that name probably went back to the 1970s when the film Debbie was in its, you know, prime. Paul Bird on Channel 7 yesterday interviewing one of the locals. No. Hang on.
Kev, mate, how are you faring? So you're a local?
Well, I am actually, and I finally met Debbie. I've heard about Debbie doing other things, but now she's giving Bowen a blowjob.
Conditions out there, obviously, are looking very... this is Bowen, people.
He really tickled someone that was standing nearby. She loved that, Kev.
What the hell? Well done, well played, well played. Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
Had a terrifying moment, Ash, last night.
Yeah?
Went to, it's not terrifying, that's extreme, but You'll know this moment, though. We went to Corbett and Claude, the new restaurant.
I went to Indre. Where did you go?
Garden City.
That's very good, isn't it?
It was great, yeah.
And excellent.
I got my way in tomorrow, so I had to get a salad, but they did a good salad.
So you didn't have the halloumi fries then, I'm presuming?
I may have sampled a couple of
halloumi
fries.
I knew you would!
They were really good. Anyway, so as I walk in, the manager, he sees me because I've made a reservation. He sees me as I walk in, he's gone, "It has been a very long time, sir." And I've looked at his face and gone, "I got no idea. I've never seen you before in my life." Yeah. And I shook hands.
What'd
and
you
then,
say?
So then I've done the trick. I've gone, "Have you met Amber?" And thinking, "Here we go." And he goes, "I know, but I've heard about you a lot on the radio." Shakes a hand, doesn't say his
name.
And I'm like, oh.
That's tough.
I had a girl come up to me recently and go, "Ange, it's so good to see you." And then she looked at me and she could just tell, because when you look at my face, you can tell exactly what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
She goes, "You don't remember me, do you?"
Yeah.
I said, "Yeah, I do." And then I've gone, "This is Lucy." And then she didn't say her name. And I was just caught out.
You've got to say your name when they introduce you to someone. Yeah. And so then I spent...
Yeah, what'd you do?
I text Mitch. I said, "Mitch," because I knew Mitch had been there. He mentioned that Mitch had been there.
Right.
So I go, "Mitch, what's the manager's name?" Mitch goes, "Sorry, mate, don't know." Then the sales rep who'd sort of told me about the place, Cam, I've messaged her on Facebook. I couldn't find her number. Nothing back. And then eventually he came out and said, You don't remember me, do you?"
Oh, no. Why did it take that long to do it?
It was at the end of the meal. I said, "Mate, I'm sorry. I said something to Amber before," and he's gone, "It's Mustang Bar. I
used to run Mustang."
Which I'd actually said to Amber, but I said to him, "Honestly, I said to Amber Mustang Bar, but you look too young to have run that place 10 years ago."
Yeah.
It was him.
He did.
It was him.
Really?
Yeah, but I just...
Yeah. Oh, well, it's worse for me because, I've got a bad memory to begin with.
Yeah.
And on top of a bad memory, who knows how many brain cells I've killed along the way. So it's worse than it should be.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I've got an identical twin brother who people will go out and meet Luke. And then when I meet them, I've got to work out, hang on, do they think that I'm Luke? Or, have I met them and forgot them? And I was out at dinner too recently and... Yeah. And there was a lady as I was leaving the restaurant, and she looked at me like exactly that look, like, yeah. "Hello,
here we are
hello.
Again."
And I've thought, "I don't know who you are," and I went overboard. I went, "Hello." I went in and hugged her.
Oh my god!
As I'm hugging her, she said, "We've never met before. I just listened to you on the on the radio." Ash, Cooper, and Lutzie. I'm really excited to talk to Leighton Hewitt this half hour.
Pretty big. Yeah. The head of the Davis Cup coming back to Brisbane. I just saw Beauty and the Beast yesterday, I might add. I can see why it's made almost $1 billion.
Yeah, really? Enjoyed it?
It's quite good. I went and saw it in the old Gold Class at Event Cinemas.
Didn't need to take kids or anything? You don't feel like it's...
No, I think I think that's why it's making the big coin, because it's something that obviously appeals. You can see the kids' things there. You got the gay thing was interesting.
Did you think, was it prominent?
Did you even catch it?
Yeah.
A lot of people have spoken to.
I caught it. Yeah, you catch it like on at least three occasions. Yeah, it's a pretty obvious sort of thing, but I can't see why it caused any troubles anywhere.
Mm. Yeah, because it's banned in a couple of countries.
It got banned, yeah.
In Alabama.
It got banned from a few places.
It's pretty obvious. But, I mean, who cares? But, I mean, it's pretty obvious. You can see where it appeals to. I hear that Disney now, someone told me they've earmarked another 18 films over the next sort of eight years or something like that. It's huge.
That worked well. Let's do that another 18 times.
Yes. $1 billion we made.
Yeah. Ash, Kip and
Lassie. All right. I'm not entirely sure how to do this, but like we've got our duets coming up for the top five. I don't know, with our partners, top five love songs of all time. I'm not sure when we're doing that. Is that this week? It's next week, is it?
Next week, I believe.
Yeah. So this is duet related. Singing duet related. Mm. Okay, now I just want you to listen to this duet, and I'm going to ask you guys a question on the back of it. So have a listen to this first of all.
No more dreaming about tomorrow. Forget the loneliness and the sorrow.
I've got to say it's all because of you, and now we're back together.
Especially for you.
I've worked out who that is.
You know who that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know who it is.
They are peaking, aren't they? They're right on that mic, whoever that was.
Was that karaoke? Or was that a
recording? No, that was a proper recording in a radio station.
Oh, really? Oh, dear.
Yeah. So, like, you obviously have worked out that that's...
KJ.
That's Katie Madden.
Yes.
You got that.
Yeah.
Who's Katie Madden singing with?
KJ, isn't it?
KJ.
It's KJ.
Oh, you think it's KJ and Katie Madden?
Yeah. Yes.
What would you say if I told you that that's not KJ?
Oh, I know who this is.
That is a professional singer, and that is not a gimmick. That is a legitimate singer who makes a living off singing. Play it again.
No more dreaming about tomorrow. Forget the loneliness and the sorrow.
I've got to say it's all because of you. And now we're back together. I want to show you.
My heart is oh so true.
And all the love I have is especially.
Who sang that song? I'm trying to think who's singing. Just that sounds like KJ.
Yeah, he sounds like he's harmonising, though. I realise he is trying to harmonise with it.
I'm going
to
say he's English.
That's the original. Is that Jason Donovan?
That's Jason
Donovan. Donovan sang that.
That is Jason. That's his song. Like, that was that was a single.
Didn't he sing that with Kylie? Was it with Kylie that he sang that? I don't remember who the duo was.
Katie Madden sounds better than him, isn't it?
Like, she'll kill you for bringing that up. She's hoping that that's been buried forever.
Nah, it's back.
It's unbelievable, wow. isn't it? Like, if you didn't, if it wasn't so obvious that it was Katie Madden's voice, and we knew that so well, I reckon if I played that and said one of these people is a professional singer and one of them's just a jobber off the street, like, you would pick the chick,
yeah.
is the professional singer,
yes,
because the guy. Is so awful. And it's Jason Donovan.
Ash, Kip and Luxie.
And we have Leighton Hewitt joining us.
G'day, mate.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, mate. Now, before we talk about what's happening in Brisbane next week, I just want to go through this. I don't want to embarrass Leighton here, but this guy is a legend of Australian sport. Listen to this for a resume. Have a listen to this.
What do you got?
Leighton Hewitt, the youngest male world number one when he became number one in 2001, aged 20 years of age. He won the 2001 US Open, the 2002 Wimbledon title, and between 1997 and 2016, he played in 20 consecutive Australian Opens. He's been playing Davis Cup since he was 18. He's been to 3 Olympics, and at the Davis Cup, which is coming to Brisbane next week, he's got the records for the most wins for Australia, the most singles victories for Australia, the most ties played for Australia, and the most years played for Australia. So this is a round of applause for Leighton Hewitt.
That just makes me feel pretty old. That's all
yep, he's won an Oscar. He's won a Nobel Peace Prize.
That'd be nice.
He wrote the script for Toy Story. No, for Beauty and the Beast, has made $1 billion at the box office.
But part of all that, Leighton, is the fact that the Australian Davis Cup team is, we've won it a bunch of times. I think 28 separate occasions. We're the second most successful team ever. So we've got history with this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a massive event, and it gives us an opportunity. As tennis players, you're quite selfish throughout the year playing for yourself. And it gives you an opportunity to come together as a team, but not only as a team, to wear the green and gold and play for your country. And as you said, we have such a rich tradition in this competition. The likes of Rod Laver, Tony Roach, John Newcomb, Ken Rosewell, we've had so many greats over the years. And for us to get this chance to be in a quarterfinal in a massive tie against the USA, our old arch rival as well, they're the team that's won the most Davis Cups over the years. It's going to be a great setting at Pat Rafter Arena for a really special weekend of tennis.
And is Jim Courier the US captain?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Nice. What's your rivalry like with him over the years? Were you guys sort of in the same circles?
We actually never played against each other. Jim was a guy I looked up to. He was probably one of my idols growing up, purely because of his work ethic. He was able to win the Australian Open and the French Open as well. He got to world number one. But we actually do a lot of commentary for Channel 7 during the Australian Open as well. So there's a bit of friendly rivalry about the Davis Cup always. But, that will be put aside. We're enemies come next week.
How important is it to you, Leighton? Because, we went through your history there, and there's plenty of personal achievements. achievements, but you've all, one of the things that you've always that I've always thought about you is it's so, been so important to you, and you've been so proud to represent Australia, and you and you're trying to continue on that tradition about getting the boys to just be really proud to represent the country.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for me, it was so important, and I was lucky that I got thrown in to the Davis Cup at a young age, but I had the likes of John Newcombe and Tony Roach were running the Davis Cup at the time. And so they just spoke about the history and tradition that we have and all the great players that have played and represented our country so well. And for me, that was just one goal of mine as a young kid. I always wanted to play Davis Cup for Australia. I remember watching Pat Cash, all the videos of him at Kooyong, coming back from two sets to love down in Davis Cup finals. And I just wanted to get that opportunity to do it one day. For me to go on and do it for, you know, 18, 19 years representing your country, it's an amazing feeling. There's nothing like sitting, you know, being out there, but seeing the guys sitting on the bench, the rest of your team, and knowing that you're out there playing for them. You're also playing for your captain and coach and for your nation. And it does bring a lot of pressure and expectation to it because, you know, week in, week out on the tennis tour, as I said, it's quite lonely out there and you're playing for yourself. And so it is an added pressure. But I want these young guys in our team to really embrace that and enjoy the battle. And that's one thing I've really tried to do in the last couple of years in my role as Davis Cup captain is bring them all together and have that one really common goal.
Did you remember, I think it was the late 90s, Leighton, when it's, the Davis Cup was in Brisbane. We played out at the State Athletics Centre with QSAC.
Russia.
Remember that against Russia. We had a win. And all, just to encapsulate how much sort of energy this will bring to Brisbane next week, I remember the after party. Paddy Rafter was sort of a private, a part owner or whatever of a Adrenaline Sports Bar in the city, which isn't there anymore.
Exactly.
And I remember at one stage looking over, everyone was there after the big win, and Michael Caton from the Castle was crowd surfing across everyone. Yeah. The place just went nuts when we won. It's such an awesome event to come to Brisbane.
it's a great team environment. We try and embrace the supporters as much as possible as well. And we want so many people to come out and support the Davis Cup next week. The boys really need your support up in Queensland. So we're looking forward. We can't wait to get up there, start training really hard, get into camp. But, you know, we need the Queensland support.
Hey, and we should say as well, if you've never taken your kids to the tennis before, there's children's tickets just $10 on Friday and Sunday.
Outrageous.
And $5 on Saturday.
It's going to be awesome.
Get them out there to see it as well. Davis Cup quarterfinal between Australia and the US takes place from the 7th to the 9th of April at Queensland Tennis Centre.
You're a champion, Leighton. Thanks for that, mate. We appreciate it. Good luck.
No
good luck, mate.
Thanks, guys.
Ash, Kip and Lassie.
Hey, we mentioned that the Partners Edition of Question Time is up on the Ash, Kip and Lutzy Facebook page.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we did yesterday, this competition here that I'm about to do is not going to be spoiled by the fact that it's up, is it? Have you seen it, Kip? You haven't seen Amber? Have you seen Question Time?
Okay. No.
Because yesterday we asked, Lutzy asked me and then I asked Lutzy questions that our partners had both answered and we tried to match them.
Yeah.
And we thought we could, you know, and I was hopeless. I got 1 out of 4 for Jody with Jody. I think the only one that I matched on was what was the most romantic thing I've ever done or something like that.
Yeah, the dress in New York.
And you got
three out of four. Thank you, Ashley.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, Lutzy was very good.
Yeah. I take such offense at that because you pay no attention to anything here at work.
Yeah.
The fact that you're
actually priorities, Ashley.
Going, sorry. But we should be higher up on the priority scale here at work.
Oh, what? I know enough about you, all right? I think we've... Yeah, but so I got 3, you got 1.
Anyway,
Kip, we haven't done Kip yet.
No, we haven't. So
he's about to get married, so this will be a 4.4 Jones.
It'll be 4, yeah.
4.4.
Clean sweep, will he?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, he'll add some element.
Right. Now, you haven't cheated, have you? You haven't gone, let's go. No. Tell me what you said.
I don't know any of these.
All right, okay. So we asked Amber, what is the most annoying habit of you? So what would you say?
I think it's that thing that I didn't know I did it, but apparently sometimes when we're watching TV, I go...
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I make sort of sounds with my lips.
I heard you say something about that last week, so I reckon this one's genuine.
And this is annoying.
Yeah, okay. So let's see what she said.
I mean, he farts a lot.
Oh, come on.
saying this.
Well, there's one.
Oh,
there's
that's one disgusting. I
do they sound like...
They don't sound like that.
No.
Thank you. Oh, there you go.
Fart a lot. Yeah. That's disgusting.
There's a kick off.
Have you done that since day dot?
No.
You're just too comfortable now, Kip.
No, well, I used to, without getting a big story, I used to leave the room.
Yeah.
And then, even through the night, I'd leave the room. And then she said, look, I'm probably going to regret this one day, but you don't have to keep leaving the room. It's fine.
Familiarity breeds contempt. Saying, whoop, that's out. You're making it more obvious.
Here's the best part of me gone. Hey, pull my finger, Amber.
I'm not pulling fingers yet, but yeah, I may have stopped.
That is disgusting. All right.
So none from one.
None from one. Okay. Now, if Amber had to... It says husband swap. So but basically, who would Amber husband choose swap. Out of me and Lutzy?
Okay. And what did I say? This was a tough one. I think I might have said you.
Who?
Ash.
I introduced you.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Well, that's what I said originally, so I'll stick with that.
You turned me off with the mess thing, so I might have to go with Lutzy.
Lutzy.
Oh, she went Lutzy.
Oh!
What did she say?
You turned me off with the mess thing. She must have been talking to Jody when she said, Jody said messy. How messy you were.
Oh, yeah.
You walk over mess and leave it there. You're a slob.
That is the most outrageous thing she's ever said.
Honestly. I'm none for two here.
Yeah, you're none for two.
I could lose to you on this.
Now, what is your worst phobia? So is that
Amber's worst phobia?
Okay, what's Amber's worst phobia?
I said
she's
like a hypochondriac. She always thinks she's dying. Every time she gets the flu or whatever. Yeah. She's
looking for hypochondriac.
Yep.
I have dreams about breaking my spine. I think I'm really scared about breaking my back. I know that's really random, but...
What? That's my... How would I guess that?
That's the same thing.
It's a dream.
No, it's not.
That's it?
That is not the same thing.
In her dream, she's a hypochondriac.
That is not the same thing.
I reckon I get a half point.
No. You're none for three. You're marrying this woman next week.
All right, what have I got? One thing.
What's her name?
Amber. Right. Amber, yeah.
What's the most romantic thing that you've ever done?
I think I said it was my proposal in Africa, I think.
All right, you better get
this. Come on.
You better.
I think it was when Kip proposed. We had a dinner on the beach.
Yes.
And there were candles, torches, it was really sweet.
There you go. Now, read into this.
Oh, you could have zero. Then she'd have said you did a bubble bath out of your fart or something.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
With the cyclone... That hit, and all the TV cameras are up there, and it's still getting all of the coverage. I was talking to my dad because when he went through it at Yasi, this is like the difficult time now, because after Yasi went through, and we just saw some footage of them driving around Bowen and what it looks like in Bowen, and there's plenty of uprooted trees and all the rest of it. When my dad's house got destroyed, we went up there, and there was lots of trees around. We spent 3 days... doing nothing other than chainsawing up trees and putting them in the back of a truck and then taking them and dumping them. 3 full days of just doing that, and hot, humid, and the place stinks. It reeks.
Oh, why does it stink?
You think of the amount of rainfall that you've had and just the mud. You know that smell? Smell of like that muddy that sort of...
Creek.
Sort of... Like that's what they're in for now. The TV cameras take off and, Ben, you're just left with this just carnage, just pure carnage.
Yeah.
And these houses that have just been destroyed. Although I haven't seen a lot of houses that have been destroyed on the TV, which is good.
It doesn't look like it's more like vegetation and stuff like that. Only one person injured, I think, I saw last night. Guy got pinned to a fence or something or other. But
is he all right?
Yeah.
No fatality.
No. But there's two guys now missing on their yacht off Whitsunday.
How could you be in a yacht? I saw somebody gave birth on Hamilton Island, was that?
Early Beach.
On Early Beach in the middle of that. I wonder if they'll call it Debbie. You'd have to throw it in as a middle name.
You would.
Do you reckon someone just got in touch with me on Facebook and said, do you reckon that there'll be a lot of babies born, like cyclone babies born? Like because they've got no power. I don't think it's that type of thing though, is it? Like,
what are you saying? What's the suggestion?
My suggestion. Someone just said, hey Ash, just heard in the news a baby girl was born with Sunday Island this morning. How many cyclone babies do you reckon will be born in about 9 months?
You got to do in the bathroom while you're bunkering down?
7 o'clock tonight, you got some candles lit.
Yeah.
Oh, well, whatever.
Finish your mopping.
Yeah, no.
And we might have a... Like, what? Is that the situation?
No, while the cyclone was on, the people were bunkered down for that long wrong, but I don't think
that's exhilarating.
No. A lot of them were in evacuation centres. Now, that's not appropriate.
Yeah.
No,
you're wrong.
No. So, I don't
Gary,
think
you're
happen.
In full view. off the Bay Marie.
No, you can hang sheets
we're
up,
we're trying
Gary.
To eat here.
Yeah, we all know. I can hear the springs. It's a camp bed.
Now, the other thing is, what happened, Lutzy, at Forex yesterday?
With what?
Well, there was a fire. Yeah, there was a fire at Forex.
Oh, I'm unaware of it. Sorry, I didn't have the news on yesterday, but I will say Forex once again.
Yeah.
What happened? So everything's sweet there?
Yeah,
at the brewery.
There was a bit of a fire around 5 p.m.
But that was nothing done. I thought you'd be all over that, Lutzy.
So did I. I was waiting for you.
Yeah, there's nothing dangerous, no great damage?
No. Apparently the beer supply is fine and it's still going to be rolled out.
Okay. Thank you.
Because that would have been a tragic day for Queenslanders on all fronts, wouldn't it?
It really
the,
bad.
The yes. Bowen mango's gone and the Milton mango's. Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
A mate of mine last week, he was complaining. His brother, and I won't give his name just in case there's insurance issues, but he...
call him Jerry Jobber.
Jerry. Yep. So his brother drives a nice BMW, one of those, I think it's like an X6 or something, one of the four drives, big one.
Yep.
And he said to my mate, listen, can I swap cars with you for a month? Because my mate Jerry's car has a tow bar, you know, and it's not a particularly expensive car. It's worth a bit though, but, you know. And he said, can I swap cars with you?
For a month?
Yeah, for a month because I need to tow it up north. I need to tow the boat up north.
Yeah.
And we're staying up there, but you have the Beamer.
And oh, okay, yeah.
So he's gone, okay, well, yeah. And so Jerry's gone, well, that's a good deal for me. It's like a $50,000 upgrade. I'll take it. No worries. He says, yeah, that's cool. About a week later, his brother rocks around to pick up the car, and he's driving like a 2001 BMW, like the 318, like the cheapest sort of Beamer there is, which is worth about, I don't know, less than 10 grand, this thing now. And Jed's gone, what? What's that? He's going, it's a Beamer.
He thought he was getting like a Beamer.
He's getting a good Beamer. Yeah. He's going, no, we sold the other one. We sold the other one. We just got.
He did have a good Beamer.
He did have a good Beamer and he sold it and has now got this old cheap one for a bit. And so my mate's been rolled by his brother because, you know, he heard Beamer and thought, well, it's going to be the good one, but it wasn't. So now he's driving around in this old sedan. But he was feeling a little bit ripped off by his brother then, but he was going to deal with it.
Yes.
Until he discovered yesterday that the boat, I don't know where his brother is on the water or where he's taken it.
He didn't tow it up north, did he?
My friend Jerry's car is parked at Airlie Beach. At the marina there.
No.
And that's where, and he's now trying to find his brother to get a report on how his car's going. So he's driven it up north. He's put the boat in the water. They've gone somewhere in the boat. And so now his car is at the marina at Airlie Beach.
Oh, he's taken off in the boat somewhere. And the car's just has been sitting there
at Airlie Beach.
Yeah.
So, which is where, if you've just joined us, is where the Cyclone Debbie crossed.
Yeah.
So he's been so completely rolled by his brother. And his car, although not expensive as that, was still, like, it's only 2 years old. Like, it's still, it was still his precious car.
And it sounds like Jerry's more worried about his car at the moment than the welfare of his brother.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like went out in a boat.
Yes,
towards the cyclone. Yeah. He met it halfway.
No, he's gone out there like, a madman. He's gone out for the perfect storm. I don't know what he's doing
what
in the boat.
What the hell?
Where he's gone.
Is his brother all right?
I don't know.
Yeah, but
but Jerry's only worried about the
Jerry's worried about his car.
Yeah. Ash, Kip and
Lutzy. With everything that's happened this week up in far north Queensland with the cyclone, it's easy to forget that it was just last week we were talking about FNQ with that 18-year-old who jumped onto the snout of a crocodile impress the British backpacker.
That's right.
Remember that? I mean, that seems like it was a while ago now because of everything that's happened.
I wonder where she bunkered down. I wonder if he managed to snuggle through the cyclone.
No, well, I don't think she was interested in him. I think he got the brush from her. Mm. But it's made it into the talk shows over into the United States. Trevor Noah has got a late show over there. And they had a bit of a go on The Daily Show, not just Not just at him. Well, no, actually, what they did was they said the story, and Trevor Noah said that it's not just Americans who are dumb, you know, because it happens in Australia and all over the world as well.
Yeah.
And then they had some bloke who was a part of the show who they claimed is an Aussie because he went to university here.
Yeah.
And he's an Asian guy, this guy, and he came on to explain that you can't use what that 18-year-old did as a reflection on all of Australia.
Okay.
Have you got it there?
Hang on. What's it going to be called?
Oh, we should have.
Sorry.
Yeah. You got it. You
said Comedy Central? Would it be Comedy
Central?
Yeah,
okay.
Idiots like this are why people think Australia is dangerous. I lived there for 10 years and nothing happened. My point is, Australia can be dangerous if you're a dumbass. But everywhere is dangerous if you're a dumbass. A car wash can be dangerous if you're a dumbass. How did he drown? I don't know. He was being a dumbass.
Fair enough. That was pretty good.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
Katie Matten's coming in next.
Good morning.
What about your duet you did with Jason Donovan?
Yeah, I heard to play that. Yes.
What's the backstory on that? We should mention, by the way, Jason Donovan, like, everyone knows Kylie Minogue. Well, Jason Donovan, like, he was like the male equivalent of Kylie Minogue.
Were they neighbours together?
Yeah, they were neighbours together.
They dated for a while.
Dream couple.
Right, they did too.
If you missed it earlier, this is a little bit of Katie and Jason.
No more dreaming about tomorrow. Forget the loneliness and the sorrow.
I've got to say it's all because of you. And now we're back together.
So, like, he was dead set trying to sing there, wasn't he?
He was terrible.
Oh, he's worse than me.
Do you know what's funny as well? In the video, it's on YouTube. In the video of it, he moves one of his headphone ears off of his ear so that he can hear himself singing properly.
Oh,
so
yes.
So that he can get
thing.
The right pitch.
Yeah, he really didn't.
Is it? No, it's the first time. You were the first people that have ever said I was a good singer.
You sound good next to him.
Yeah.
But you sound like you're the professional singer.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, I'm comparing you to that awful
guy. Yeah, like, a goat would sound good next to him.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.